show you, I asked, I did all of that. I did all of that. I contacted Kim and asked her for clarification for everything.
And it should.
I don't think that there's any.
What if I don't know the words?
Kim, it was really, really helpful for me to have the fourth of early recording.
Good.
That's why I save it until March, because then it's really like helpful. Fresh and maybe
and
people still have it.
This is the first time that I've looked at it's the same time that I've done the review.
It's still kind of fresh and people might still, okay, just so you can see,
It gives me more of a
good, the full year, even, it's not current, but it's
and my
just
gosh,
a year
you know,
off.
And we're over 100% on targets.
I didn't make
thank you.
So I should have made that. This is, you're the first to
take off.
These are my notes.
Oh, thank you.
Recording in progress.
I'm the first reviewer on some of them. This is Susan Fowler. And this is you, Community First. FC Community First. This is again. So you can mention those things if you want to. They're joint. We do it joint.
Those are funded by them.
And the way that the amount that DDB does is negotiated.
Hi, everybody. We'll get started in a couple minutes. Here's the agenda on the screen.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Neil, we did it. We did it.
Yeah.
I was trying to make your life easier by giving you my notes.
Oh, yeah, no, I appreciate it.
If you want to write, not my husband's.
Yeah.
Because it takes me a little while to do that.
call a meeting to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Kim Fisher.
Am I supposed to say here or wait till I'm asked to, like, allowed to be participating?
We're going to have to vote Kim in.
Okay. Okay. I'm here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Neil Sharma.
Here.
Diane Gordon.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here. Okay, so the next item is for the board to approve Kim to participate remotely.
I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Kim, you're in.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, approval of the agenda.
Go ahead.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved. And my microphone turns itself off after about 10 seconds of no use. So if you can't hear me at any time, let me know.
Okay. You're going to need several mics.
The schedule and timeline is in the packet. The acronyms and glossaries in the packet. Do we have any citizen input or public participation at this time? Okay, the next item is my comments. And my comments is that this is the most important meeting of the year. We are discussing all of the applications. I expect this meeting to be a little longer than normal because of this discussion. But since many of these applications are well known to the board, agencies and programs that we have approved over and over and over in years in the past, and because the presentations were so clear this year, so well written, so easy to understand, and the staff summaries, likewise, were also excellent. I feel like I have had all my questions answered. I did ask Kim Bowdery a few questions, which she answered quite succinctly and ably. If you are reviewing a program and there are no issues with that program, it is not necessary for you to enumerate a lot of things about that program. Just say what the program is. Briefly state what the amount of money is and what the program does. I think you can do that in less than 2 minutes per program, and then we can have discussion about it. I have allotted 10 minutes for discussion of each program, but there are 20 programs, so that's an hour and a half, or no, 2.5 hours. I hope we don't have to do that. But this is important, so we will take the time that we need to do. And we do have a couple of decision items, one in particular that may take a little bit of discussion. So those are my comments, and thank you all for being here this morning.
I'll limit my comments to this process. Britton, we finished with the staff reviews of all the applications. Kim Bowdery sent them out to the agencies, and we sent them out to you as soon as we could to support your reading of the applications, too. We sent them to the agencies with a request that they let us know of any mistakes that we've made, because we do not want to misrepresent somebody's work. We got lots of responses that were around, like, maybe things that could be improved in the application, which is great to know, but not right now. Mm-hmm. There are two typos we'll tell you about. I'm very happy that there are only two typos, because I think this is probably one of the best processes we've ever had, working as a team on these and giving ourselves enough time throughout the process and checking in with each other. And people rewrote their sections to be consistent across applications, which I really appreciate, because it is very hard to review this much stuff, and like, it matters what happened to you at lunch. You know, like, you might have more favorable reviews after a really great nap, but But people, our team was very, very careful about that. So when we get to it, we'd like to jump in and tell you about the two typos. Otherwise, we will stay out of your business. And if you have questions for us, I think our team is also, like, very ready to answer questions because we really did dig in deep this year. So I'm really happy with us. That's it. I'm done. Okay.
Thank you, Lynn. Next item is approval of the board meeting minutes from March 25. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, move to approve.
Second the motion.
Yeah. Any comments about the meeting minutes? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. The next item is the vendor invoice list.
Microphone cut off. The next item is the vendor invoice list. Can I have a motion to approve?
I move to approve the vendor's invoice list.
Second.
Any comments about the vendor invoice list?
This is Kim. I just want to say I put looks great. I mean, the table looks so great. So thank you, Chris and team. I mean, everything looks great in this packet, but...
So a positive comment about the readability of the vendor invoice list, and I agree, it is way better for me to read than it has been previously. So thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? I forgot to ask that earlier. Staff reports are in the packet. As always, thank you very much to the staff for the reports. Oh, no staff reports. Well, they're not in the packet, but they're always really good. Okay. Thank you for your work, as always. Okay. Now, we do have a new business item, delayed agency audit, pages 11 and 12. Lynn, do you want to give us a little background about this?
Well, there's a whole bunch of, like, just context on the first page, so you can kind of skip that. The audits are due 6 months after the end of an agency's fiscal year, and right now all of the DDB-funded agencies use the July 1 through June 30 fiscal year. I think that's right. Is that true? All the DDB ones. So at the end of the year, we got some, like, in advance of the deadline, which was amazing because it allowed me time to read them and understand more about the agencies. They really do have a... provide a unique perspective on agencies. But this one, the one from PACE, was delayed at the time. So I believe it was in January. The board took action to release, is that right, January, to release all payments, January, February, and March. So then we have, that's just a grace period. In the funding guidelines for this board, as of March 31, a contract can be canceled if the audit is still not done. So I think the agency fully expected the audit to be done by then. It has not been shared with us yet. So you just have to decide, do you want to continue the contract or cancel the contract? And this is a relatively new rule, and it protects against a kind of risk where we might owe an agency years worth of payments if we don't kind of put some policy bumpers in the way to keep it from being personal or keep it from being situation driven. You get to decide case by case if it's okay to continue the contract and take that risk. And then the other thing is that a very new rule started just last year is that when an agency applies for funding, they are to also share with us their most recently complete recent year audit or equivalent. And this, because this wasn't done on February 2nd, which was when the applications were submitted, you also decide whether you want to consider the application, whether you can consider the application complete without the audit, or you want to wait till there's an audit. So anyway, those are the things that are at play. They are two decisions that are outside of staff's power to make. So.
Okay, I have one question. Is there a timeline? Is there an indication from PACE that this is forthcoming?
What's the reason?
Yeah.
Well, they provided reasons back in was it January? Yeah, for the delay, and we know that audits take a long time, and the reasons had to do with the director had an illness that was prolonged and kept them from being able to prepare some of the financial statements. I don't know. They expected it to be done by now. So I don't know why it's not done by now. So,
Susan.
Is it appropriate to ask a representative of PACE what their projected timeline is? Because this is pretty critical given that today is when we discuss the proposals. Is that something we could do very quickly?
Well, I don't know how quickly we can do it, but we can certainly do it. Can we get a representative from
the director is here
online?
Yeah.
Excellent. We can ask the director.
Good morning. This is Michelle at PACE. So we actually are supposed to be getting our draft today to take to our board tomorrow for approval of our audit, and then we would have that to you next week. As I said, the delays just continued because he was during tax season and things like that, and we got bumped due to the fact that it was already late.
Thank you for that. That is very helpful.
And that is something that we understand about lateness. If you don't have an audit pretty much by February, there is a tendency to prefer tax clients. I wish we could somehow maybe pay better than tax clients or something to eliminate that barrier.
Okay, so we have two things that have to have motions on them. They're on page 12. And there are three above the word and with or next to them. And I would like to separate those from each other for our motions and for discussion. So if you draw a line above the word and, there are three possible motions, and I would like to entertain one of those three motions at this time. Well, does somebody want to move, or do you want me to move?
I'm happy.
Kim, I can move.
Go ahead.
I'm going to pick that third one. Motion to defer a decision on whether to continue or cancel PACES program year 2026 contract as of March 31st, 2026, until the program year 2025 audit report has been filed and any related follow-up issues resolved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion. Susan?
I think given the comment made by the director that it is in process and that they should have it for their board by next week should allow us to extend by another 1 month to our next board meeting to accept. And I'm not going to talk about what comes after the and. So it gives a grace period. We did have a good explanation, I think, in January for why things were late. We've been consistently understanding with other agencies, so I don't see any reason to revise our course of action. And so I think if we just look at the action of motion to defer, that would be great. And then we could consider the other two motions under and after we voted on this.
That is correct. So we are just voting on the motion to continue, cancel, or defer. And right now there's a motion on the floor to defer. I do have a question. If we vote to defer, does that mean they do not get any more money until we vote? Or do they?
Well, I didn't prepare a motion that would allow us to release any more payments. So that's a separate thing. If it's only 1 month, I don't think we should release any more payments. I think holding payments is a good consequence.
So if we vote to defer, they will not receive any more payments until we vote to continue. Is that correct?
Just clarification. So that means that if everything is turned in and the staff approve the audit, they have to wait until our next board meeting? Have to wait until our next board meeting.
The reason is that you're not saying you're going to cancel the contract or continue the contract. The payments would be for the period that you're not deciding about. It would be very inappropriate for us to release payments on a contract that may or may not be valid.
And what are those months?
April, and then May, because you would make a decision in May. But we should not release money on a contract that has not been continued for April and May.
Yeah, you know, between like the first and the third option, I mean, is there a reason to necessarily defer, you know, if it's a similar, I think the consequence is appropriate, but.
This is included because we've been down this road a million times with the mental health board, and what happens is they end up losing hours of board meeting time to these issues. So it's a quick way out so that you can review applications, but it seems like it might not be ideal for you all. It's just I've been encouraged to continue including it so that the boards have a way out of, you know, you've got other things to talk about.
I'm raising my hand. I'm the chair. I'm raising my hand. If we decided to do a different motion, that is the first one, to continue the contract, what does withholding payments until program year 2025 audit is submitted operationally mean?
It means we don't make April payments until we have the audit. If we're getting the audit next week, it would just be the April payment, and then also in time for preparation of May. But there is no May payment because it's combined with June's. That's so for everyone. May and June payments go out in June. That's because we're running out of money at this time of year. So their April payment would go out when we have the audit and we have an opportunity to look at it.
Somebody has their hand up. Okay, Michelle.
Hi, it's Michelle from PACE. We completely understand that you guys have to hold payments. You don't have to discuss it. You can just either vote to continue or defer whatever you need to do with our contract. I completely understand, because I really thought the auditor was going to have it to us by our deadline that we had given you, and it didn't happen. So I understand that that's the consequence that we have to have. So I just wanted you guys to be aware of that.
Appreciate that.
So as I understand it, the difference between the first motion to continue and the second motion to defer is that in the first motion, it would be up to the staff to release the money for April when the audit is in and is satisfactorily reviewed. In the second motion to defer, it would require a voice vote by the board in the May based on that. Am I correct? Okay.
I would lean for the first option. It sounds like they have a very reasonable and, you know, it's not like, oh, we don't know, we're not in, you know, getting audited or.
Any more discussion about this?
This is Kim. So thank you for that clarification. So is it okay if I, or am I allowed to withdraw my motion?
Yes, you
so
are.
That we don't have, okay, so I will withdraw my motion.
I withdraw my second.
Do we have a new motion?
Yeah, a motion to continue PACE program year 2026 contract withholding payments until the program year 2025 audit report is submitted and any follow-up issues resolved.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I just want to note that I would only change it because Michelle Ingram, the director, has said they're expecting it today or tomorrow. Otherwise, we get into a sticky trap that we were in before
yeah.
in the mental health board.
Right.
So The assurance makes all the difference.
Yes, thank you to the director, Michelle. Are we ready for a vote? The motion is to continue PACE Inc.'s program 2026 contract, withholding payments until the program year 2025 audit report is submitted and any follow-up issues are resolved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're going to need a roll call.
Stephanie says we need a roll call.
Susan Fowler.
Yes.
Neil Sharma.
Yes.
Diane Gordon.
Yes.
Kim Fisher.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes. The motion passes. Okay, now there's a second part of this. Underneath the word and, there's a motion that we could consider PACE's program year 2027 funding request as submitted without the completed program year audit. And the second one is that we could not do that. We defer that. Susan?
I'd like to present the motion to consider the program because we're considering the other 19. It's more efficient to do so, and we have assurances that the audit is coming. We're not funding anything today. We're just critiquing the proposals and asking questions.
Okay, so you'd like to make a motion to consider PACE's 2027. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Susan, that was good discussion. Now, do we need? We don't need a voice vote on this because it does not mean giving money right now. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. So just for the record, we have continued PACE's programming, withholding payments until the audit is submitted, and we will consider PACE's program funding request in 2027, which is coming up very, very soon. Does anybody need a break after that, or are we ready to forge on? Okay. So I have this piece of paper from the previous board packet with everything listed in some order, and that is the order that I'm planning to follow. So the first item is CCRPC Community Services Decision Support, and Susan Fowler and Kim Fisher are the reviewers. Susan, do you want to take the lead?
Sure. CCRPC is requesting around $500,000 for funding. They have diversified funding. The funding for this request, though, primarily depends upon the DD board allocation. It's a somewhat unusual proposal in that it groups three specific programs together, and I'm assuming that the grouping is efficiency so that they don't have to prepare separate proposals for each. The first part of the advocacy and linkage priority is transition consult and decision support that's conflict-free for individuals who are waiting for services through PUNS but don't yet have the funding through PUNS. So these would be the students leaving high school who are in that liminal space before funding is available, and it's very important to start planning then. The second is to replace a missing program to support individuals with dual diagnosis who have mental health disorder as well as a developmental disability. We had a program at one point. It went away. I think that's an underserved component of our community, and this is an important collaboration to ensure that individuals with the dual diagnosis aren't ignored. And the third is community life short-term assistance. And in essence, this is to replace what used to be a different funding source so that when individuals have an emergency need, they can come to CCRPC and request support up to $3,000. And I think it also allows potentially for an evaluation service up to $5,000 to ensure that people can go through the PUNS process. You know, what was really helpful for me was looking at the fourth year quarterly report. I had a lot of questions as to why these would be separate and how efficient they were. But the fourth year quarterly report, which we got this spring, and Kim directed me to showed that they were doing really an outstanding job of providing these supports, and that they were more than meeting their target objectives from the fourth quarter report, which covers the entire year. So that took away most of my questions about the efficiency and the effectiveness. I think they were at, it was incredible how well they did. I think this is unique that for the, they have a MOU with DSC and Community Choices, and they also work with PACE in order, and with the school districts in order to get the high school providers. The outcomes are very clear, and they were clearly answered in the fourth quarter report in terms of their effectiveness in meeting those needs. Their target is 100 people with individualized treatment plans. They exceeded that. I think they met 145. They also do public awareness and screening contacts. I think that the strength is that it really meets unmet needs that would be a gap in our services without CCRPC stepping in. So I have no concerns.
Thank you, Susan. Kim, do you have any further comments about this?
It was noted that their budget increased 19%, 18.9%, but the budget narrative didn't discuss why they needed that extra money. So that was a question I had.
Lynn.
Well, that is because it's absorbing the community life's short-term, it's proposes to absorb that program, which has been funded by the IDD Special Initiatives Fund for a couple of years. That's part of the increase. It should have been described in the budget narrative. But this is the one where we have two typos. Do you want to do it, Kim?
Yeah, so Susan did touch on it. For the new client assistance portion, I put $3,000 per client per year. It's $5,000. I'm sorry, we've done a contract amendment to correct that. So I should have known that. And then the other thing, Susan, thank you, you mentioned it, was the dual diagnosis portion. I neglected to include that in the scope of services, but Susan discussed it, and it's also in the Why It Matters section. But that was my error. So those two were the two things that we missed in this one.
Thank you for those corrections. Okay, the next one is Neil Sharma, DSC Service Coordination. Neil and I are the reviewers.
Yeah, I'll kind of keep it brief, but, you know, this is a program to help coordinate with various, like, get people connected to various internal programs, external programs. Currently, they're requesting a little over $500,000, $538,500. I mean, they do a lot of great work, and including like helping people access their services, helping with the financial medical support. They also have a medical and crisis intervention hotline, and they also help with advocacy and housing. While there's some redundancy, it seems, with some of the things, but I think that it's sort of an important redundancy. It's sort of like another way of just, I guess, organizing everything together. So the funding request is about a 7.7% increase from the prior year, and a lot of that has to do with salaries and payroll. And we fund about 65% of the total program revenue. You know, I don't really have any major issues. I think that there was, like, some confusion about, like, the state funding, but there is apparently no current state funding. And then some clients receive case management with Medicaid waiver, which sounds similar, but there's no service duplication for any individual.
And I have nothing to add to that. So this is, by our reviewers, we have no issues with this. Excellent program. Next is Inclusive Community Support, Community Choices. Kim Fisher is lead.
Hi, everyone. So this is from Community Choices. They're requesting $246,000. It's a program, has three parts. We've supported it before. Supporting families to empower them to better understand services and get support that they need, to collaborate with other agencies, help people living at home get supports, and then some assistance through self-direction, home-based community support. So, and they have very clear outcomes and targets, and their assessments that they use, or data collection tools that they use to address the outcomes, are like extremely clear. It is so clear what the things that they're working on, and it is much appreciated to have that. Budget is good. They are increasing their request by 5.6%, but that's has to do with like needing a larger space and increase, you know, inflation, you know, increased cost overall. So no issues from me. Very valuable program.
Neil, do you have any other comments?
One thing is, as we fund about 100% of their current budget for this, and I think this is going to be like a common thing, is just sort of what other sources potentially for external funding has the agency also looked into that? And then the second one was more about an explanation of their medical expenses, which is part of their increase of 12% healthcare cost.
6%.
Is it 6% for
their healthcare is like increasing 12%, but the overall budget for this program is just going up 5.6%.
Okay, thank you. So neither one of you have any issues with this one?
No, it's just more of like, what's the 12%? Is that just from insurance or the rise in insurance costs?
That's the question.
They're facing a small increase compared to what we're going to see.
Yeah.
Like, and they could answer, but I think that's probably right, right?
Yes, Becca with Community Choices. The 12% was a typo. That's my error. It should be 15%. So if you look in the budget, it is actually an increase of 15% for health and dental insurance, based on an estimate, which I think will also be higher, just for the record. But that was a clarification that I wanted to provide.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just from the rise of the insurance cost.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks, Becca, because that was a question I had later. Yeah. Thanks.
I'm sure insurance will be coming up over and over. The next is DSC Community Living, which is Susan Fowler and Diane.
Okay. Did I miss?
No, wait. Did I miss inclusive community support? No.
No, we just finished. DSC Community Living.
I'm using the one that was from last month.
I can handle this. Here we go.
Okay.
Sorry.
This is so easy for me to use. This is what I'm using.
Okay.
If it's not the same order, sorry about that.
It's the order I'm using, too.
Okay. So we did Community Choices, Inclusive Community Support, and now we're doing DSC Community Living. Susan Fowler.
Okay. This is an ongoing request from DSC. They're requesting $441,000 out of the total cost of $533,000. So they have some contribution through the agency. It is still primarily reliant on the DDB for community living. However, I will say that what they are doing for community living is essential for an integrated person-centered arrangement for individuals served by the agency. So it provides independent living, housing, financial management, daily living skills, health and wellness, inclusion in the community, and I think uniquely emergency and crisis responses after hours and weekends, which can be life-saving for individuals with significant disabilities and no other support. The outcomes are very clear: monthly housekeeping and safety review forms, list of community engagements by the clients, and then satisfaction surveys by the clients. The target is 78 treatment plan clients with written individualized treatment plans. And I think that this was maybe the only report in the fourth quarter where they were under 100%, but they were very, very close. They were at 97% of the targets were met. So they had one or possibly two people that were not served. But I think that's, given the scope of the services, really another strength of the program. They also have interagency agreements with multiple agencies to coordinate the activities that they're engaged with for the clients, so that there is some, I think, stronger grassroots support besides the agency to ensure that these services are delivered. I had no questions or concerns.
Diane?
I did not either. It's a great program.
Okay, thank you for that clear summary. The next is Community Choices Transportation Services, and I'm the primary reviewer, and Neil Sharma is the secondary. This is a program from Community Choices. I believe it was started, was it started a year ago or 2 years ago? 2 years. Three? This will be the third year. This program was started in response to requests that were very clear from the individuals who are being served. And I was at the meeting where those individuals, to a person, said transportation was one of their biggest barriers to participating in the community. DD Board is 100% of the cost of this service. So this is a service to provide transportation to adults with IDD as self-advocates. It meets a major unmet need. It's an innovative program in response to client input. It enables participation in community events, work, and life in general. People sign up as members. It is renewable annually. A key point is that the rides are with individuals, drivers that are well known to the clients. So the safety and the trust aspect is primary. They serve not only Champaign-Urbana, but Rantoul, Mahomet, and rural areas, parentheses, 8 people. Rides are scheduled 24 hours in advance, and the only problem is it's Monday through Friday. We wish it could be expanded. They have clear outcomes, and their utilization makes me almost want to weep. Mm-hmm. 3,360 scheduled rides per month. Is that true? Is that a typo? Per year. Well, that's still pretty impressive. I couldn't believe that it was per month. They also do community service events. Increased costs are due to mileage changes and payroll changes. So I would recommend this program highly. Neil, do you have any comments?
No, I completely agree. It's great.
Okay, the next is Developmental Services, Clinical Services. Diane, you're primary.
Thank you. So this is a program that is run by DSC. It is, they're requesting $264,700. It is a program that does counseling, psychological assessments, OT therapies, which I thought was interesting. I was not aware of this program at all until I read this. So it is, for me, this is like something that everybody in the community is looking for, and I am excited to see that this is, I wish I knew more about it beforehand. It looks like it's an ongoing program that they've done it for at least a few years. They we are funding it, like Neil said about the other DSC program. It looks like we are doing about 100% of the funding. On this particular program, they've asked for a very tiny increase of less than 1%. I didn't have any questions about it. It was very well written. It is a very needed program for everybody. It does cover, this is the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, I saw that the ages covered were actually 13 through, you know, end of life. And that, I just want more information on how to help people access this program. I didn't have any questions. I thought it's a great program, and I don't have any further questions other than how to get people into it.
Susan?
I agree with Diane. I was also strongly impressed by the written agreements with 16 providers. Yes. I thought that was great, but I did have a question. Is it enough? Do they have enough providers? The providers being often referrals to psychiatrists, psychologists, OT perhaps. Is there a waiting list? Do they have people on a waiting list because they don't have enough providers? I think it's a strength they have that many, but it just raised the question, particularly given there was no real increase in the funding. Is that something that DSC could respond to?
We have definitely have time. We're moving along very nicely. Mm-hmm. We have time for an answer to this question.
Heather Livingston is online, so I want to give her a chance to respond if she wants to.
Hello, can you hear me? It's Heather.
Yes.
There is not a wait list for these services. We try really hard to reach out to providers outside of here if we can first and get them hooked up with other agencies. And then as a last resort, if they can't, then they will try to hook them up with services that we have contracted through this funding.
Thank you. That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
No concerns.
Okay, next is developmental services, individual and family support. Kim Fisher, your primary.
Hi, everyone. This is Kim. So this is DSC's individual and family support program. They're requesting $329,000, which is just a very slight increase of 2.8% in the budget and to do this program. So it's a really great program. It helps individuals and caregivers, family. So for caregivers, they do respite, memberships to different camps and things for younger families, Y memberships, that kind of thing. They do overnights. They support a big, huge piece of this, which we just talked about a couple meetings ago, is the advocacy support and folks who are advocating in Springfield or in other places like Speak Up, Speak Out. They get funding to go to the conference and or to get paid for their advocacy time, which is, you know, just tremendously important. And then just like, you know, education, legal assistance on things like rights, guardianship, services, that kind of thing. You know, most of what I found interesting, which I guess I didn't realize in, you know, kind of looking at their supports, that so much of their support or so much of the people they serve in this program are young children. So like, well, children, 7 to 18. I mean, that's like over half of the folks who are supported in this program. I think that's all I had.
Diane?
I did not have any questions. I think it's
okay. So both of you like this program?
Yeah, absolutely. No concerns.
Okay, Diane, the next one is yours. It's a PACE Consumer Control and Personal Support.
Okay. So this is, they are requesting about $46,000, $45,972. I will be quite honest. When I read this, this is a program I'm not familiar with at all, and I wasn't quite sure what I was reading. And that's not because of PACE, it's just because of my lack of knowledge. My understanding is that basically this program helps find personal support workers and to get them through that initial screening process. So it's more geared towards the personal support workers and then matching them up with people who need the services.
That's true.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So that is the scope of the project. They are asking for $45,000. This is such a needed program to get personal support workers out there into the community. So I can't imagine why there would be a complaint about this program. This is also the first one I read and wasn't quite sure what I was doing as the new kid on the block here. So
I can jump in, Diane, if you need.
Please do. Yeah, please.
Sorry. I didn't mean to like speak over you.
That's
okay.
Were
still good. Okay. I had no, it's a really important program. It really helps with like managing and finding a personal support worker and managing and training and all the requirements that are required for finding a personal support worker, kind of help with this program. The one thing that I would mention is that there's an error with the budget that staff mentioned. The expense report, there was an error in the expense budget within the miscellaneous expenses category. So the total column is less than the total program amount. I think maybe that's just something that's going to need to be addressed, if the program gets approved and we finally execute the project or the, program contract. That's the word I'm looking for. Sorry. But that's all. So that is just a minor concern. I mean, not that it's concerned that the budgeting information does need to be accurate. So it's not necessarily a minor concern. It's a concern, I guess.
Susan, your hand was up.
Yes, thanks. I agree that this is an important program, and I just felt like a little more information would be helpful. I don't know if Michelle is still on. I know that it said in the report that 30 people completed the PSW orientation and the background checks. That can take a long time. I have to hire PSWs, so I understand the amount of effort that goes into that. And then they said on page 61 that out of those 30 people, they had 9 successful matches between a person with developmental disabilities and a PSW. So I'm just, maybe it's not unreasonable for $45,000 to produce 9 matches. It could be very reasonable. I know it's not easy to produce matches, but I would like to know a little bit more on the longevity duration of the matches. And what about the other 23 people that went through, or sorry, 21 people that went through the program? Are they still viable potential PSWs? As part of the parent community, it is so hard to find PSWs, that if I'd known that there were 21 that hadn't been hired or matched through PACE, I would have wanted to know more about those 21. So just, a little more information on the scope and the outcomes for the program would be helpful. And I'm not stating that it's sufficient concern not to fund it, but I think there's more depth that could be provided in this program.
Hi, this is Michelle. I actually have Mel here with me, my associate director. I'm going to slide back, let her slide in, and she can answer these questions for you.
Thank you.
So just to elaborate, and Paula and Eric are the one that holds orientation at least every month. But we have this registry, but they really work really hard of finding out what the consumers are wanting for a PSW. So they build this registry, but they really listen to the consumers of what their preferences are. So yes, there are possibly a lot more that did not get matched because it's the consumer preference that they go by. So Paula works really hard on sending names out to the consumers based upon their preferences. That's why there's some that did not get matched. Paula, if you want to speak to that, elaborate more, you can.
I think the question was what happened to the 21 that were taken through the process and not matched? Is that list available?
Those PSWs are still available and still looking for matches. So every time someone reaches out to us, a consumer, those PSWs are still available in case they match a preference of a consumer.
Yeah. Susan has the floor.
I would strongly recommend, and perhaps you do this, is that list shared with Community Choices and with DSC and with other organizations in the community or parents that have access to home-based services but are unable to use all of their services for lack of PSWs? What is the dissemination of that information to others?
Paula wants to answer the question. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you. So we for now waiting my turn. Anyone can access our database. We just need some paperwork, intake paperwork, before they can get access to the names.
So are you saying that you have their names, but they need to consent for their names to be distributed or released? If I were to call, for instance, and say I'm looking for a couple of PSWs for intermittent support, would you need to have their consent to tell me their names?
No. If you want names, I would say you a intake packet. And intake packet, the a profit sheet. They gave us consent. When we do the orientation.
Okay, thank you, Paula. I think I understand that, for instance, as an example, if I wanted to find out about the PSWs that hadn't been matched, I would actually fill out an information form, and you would then look at the needs of the adult that I am trying to match with a PSW. And that makes perfect sense. Do you have a wait list of individuals who want to be matched? Because quite frankly, and this is maybe a side point, I struggle every year to replace wonderful PSWs that I have found through word of mouth. And I have never been able to get a person appropriately through through most of the agencies. So it's, you know, word of mouth. And I wonder how many parents are aware of this potential service. And that would just be a question I'd raise. I'm not doubting the validity of the program, but I think I was disappointed there were only 9 matches, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think we need an agency answer to that. It's just something for the agency to consider and discuss among yourselves.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, thank you very much, Paula, for your input. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So this is Kim. I just had a comment. So I think you know, the thing that Paula and Mel were bringing up is that it really is consumer driven. So that I think is an important part of if people don't feel like folks are a match, then, you know, they don't get hired. And that can both be a good thing and a bad thing in, you know, who consumers feel are appropriate for them could be there could be other issues kind of going on of why someone would consider someone acceptable as a personal support worker or not. So that's something for us to be thinking about.
Any further discussion about the PACE program? Okay, thank you for the PACE staff and Paula, who's present, for answering our questions. The next one is a new program called Best Buddies, and I'm the first reviewer, and Susan Fowler is the second reviewer. This is a new program. They're asking for $100,000. This program states that it is to enable full-time employment consultant in Champaign County working from, and I quote, the world's largest organization dedicated to ending social, physical, and economic isolation of 200 million people with IDD. That's a worthy goal. This employee would be outreach to employers with the goal of getting four new employers. They would have 10 events for 20 individuals, a goal of six new employed individuals by June of 2027, with 80% retaining employment for at least 90 days. Those were their outcomes. There were some staff comments about errors in the budget forms that were of concern that could be elucidated or negotiated with the agency. We don't need to discuss them. My comment is that this is a new program. It does seem to duplicate two already existing programs. It is good for people to have choices in programs. They may be able to leverage Medicaid in a way that the other programs cannot do. I'm not sure about that. That was a little aside. I'm not sure if this really addresses unmet needs. That was my comment. Susan?
Yeah, I, again, like you, Anne, was happy to see that there was more interest in supporting employment for people with DD because we have a lot of unemployed individuals. But I was really quite concerned that their criteria for inclusion that they presented on page 14 was very restrictive. It's behavior conducive to workplaces, and I would need to know exactly what that is, because for many individuals with DD, they have to learn how to engage appropriately in workplaces. So, and it's not unusual to have misunderstandings, and how do you manage those misunderstandings? There's a statement of absolutely no substance abuse, and I'm afraid that within that population, there's sometimes an overlap. So some information on how they address that. Maybe there are enough people without that concern to serve. And then the last one was there was no need for one-to-one coaching, which I think makes perfect sense after a job is well established. But within the first 90 days, I'm not sure you can say no need for one-to-one coaching, at least intermittently and at least weekly, to ensure that issues are being met. So I was happy to see that they have MOUs with Community Choices, DSC, and Division of Rehab Services. It wasn't clear to me how they were coordinating with existing community programs and actually expanding services beyond what the existing programs can do. And I would like more information. I just didn't feel I had enough information to recommend approval yet.
Any further comments about this program? Okay, moving on. Community Choices Customized Employment. Neil, you're the primary.
All right. This is we've funded them before, and they're asking for $267,500, which is about an 8% increase from the prior year. A lot of that has to just do with the higher cost of rent and also the medical expenses. We fund 100% of their whole program. So this is a great, this is once again just sort of like one of the bedrocks of trying to connect people to jobs. And I think they do a really, really great job of, and kind of impressive of like how quickly they're able to get people jobs. With 13 individuals getting paid employment, 7 with volunteer. I like that they work well with like DSC. And there isn't any redundancy of services, which is great. So I have no issues.
Kim Fisher? Kim, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, it just took me a while to get unmuted. Sorry, Dr. Robin. Yes, no concerns.
You were unmuted and you have no concerns. Thank you. The next is DSC, Community Employment, and Susan, you're the primary. Okay.
So the DSC Community Employment Request, the DSC Community Employment Request is under work life, and they're requesting a little over $1 million, and they do have some additional support beyond the $1 million request, but it's still primarily funded through the DDB. They have served in the last year, I think, 89. I had some questions. They have, first of all, the strengths are that through the community employment and Employment First collaboration, I think they've made countywide improvements in expanding inclusive employment. I think a real strength of the program is that they train their direct service providers, or DSPs, which providing 120 hours of classroom and job training, which ensures that they can be, I think, billable or meet state requirements, which may help with funding. I did wonder, out of the target plan clients, there are 88, they're suggesting that they will include somewhere between 25 and 36 for participating in the whole job development, discovery, volunteering, and supported employment process. And are those the new ones out of 88 that are served? I just wasn't clear on that. So just a little more information on how much of the proposal is expanding beyond the existing target clients. And then also a question about what is the wait list for new participants, because they have 10 to be presented for admissions. Who have not yet been served, who might be served, and I was wondering what the outcome is for the 10 additional individuals who've come up in the system that they found through their service contacts, what the likelihood is of those being admitted. Could you provide some answers to that?
So I might be looking at the wrong thing, but I don't see an increase in the target. So 88 is the target that they've had for the last few years. So the service contacts are people who they're going to see for referrals, and it looks like this year they've seen 5 of, or in the first 6 months, they saw 5 out of the 10 anticipated new referrals. So, and they have served 85 people. So it's very likely that you'll hear there's not a super long wait, but that would be a great question for them. But I might be missing something, because I see no change in the targets.
I agree. 88 was the target, but then I did become a bit confused about within the target
25 or 35%, 25 or 35 will participate in the whole job discovery process. So I guess I'm somewhat unclear about how many are continuing in jobs and how many are going through the process. And that may be my inability to understand the whole system.
Nice. I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah.
This is typically new people are using discovery. It's possible that others, continuing people, would use a discovery process too, but I understand your question now. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe people are changing jobs and they have to go back through the discovery.
Susan, did you want an answer to this?
Not today, but I would like an answer before we finalize decisions on funding, just to, so that I'm really sure about what it is that we're putting our funding into.
So this could be answered.
This could be answered in writing.
In writing and disseminated to the board.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
I think, you know, again, this is an ongoing request, so we haven't had concerns in the past. I just had trouble really understanding the breakdown in the proposal.
So I'm a little confused, Susan, because you said this was $1 million?
Half a million.
Okay. That's more like what I had.
$540,000.
Okay. Well, I guess I must have misheard you. Okay. Because that's what I had. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder if we're looking at the same thing. Okay. So, my only comments is that this is a longstanding program with an excellent track record. They are well established in the community, and the DD board is 78.7% of program revenue, and personnel is 92% of the cost. So we're supporting people doing good work. And there is a little quote here. Each time an individual is heard or an employer completes LEAP training, community inclusion grows and stigma decreases. I just want to put that in the record. So no concerns and full support for that one. Okay, DSC / Community Choices, Joint Program Employment First. And Diane, you're first on that.
Thank you. So this is the LEAP program, which is Leaders Employing All People. It is to help with the culture shift for roles and contributions of people with IDD in the workforce. So it is a training program that I understand goes out to community employers, teaches them why they would want to hire people with IDD. I've worked in a couple of different settings where I've had leaders in the company who have gone through the program, and they certainly came out of it better, you know, better informed. So I've seen the positive side of it. They're asking for $106,000. It's a 3.4% increase over the prior year, which seems reasonable in this economy. It is another program that is almost fully funded by the DD board, so it's like 99%. The DD board funding. The outcomes, I did have some questions on, the request is for $106,000. The outcome and target is that 10 people will be hired by businesses who have been LEAP trained, and 80% of LEAP attendees will provide satisfactory feedback. And that, I don't know, let's see, they do about 25 programs a year. So, That seemed like a big investment of $10,000 per employee to get the companies to look at that, to look at hiring IDD community members. But I also see the value in helping to change the awareness in the community, if that makes sense. So I know it's a great program. I've seen the benefits in places that I've worked. I would just love to see better outcomes for it, and I don't know if there's a way to help make that happen. So.
Does anybody else want to speak to that point, Susan?
Yeah, I just thought this would be a great program to, if it hasn't been part of the evaluation team's efforts to look at additional outcomes, because I think it's very important for the community to be aware of how well people with DD can work in many jobs. But and again, this, we're not reviewing their website for the job listings or for the companies that have gone through it. But I find it a real struggle to get through that and to really try and identify as an external person what company I might approach or help my son, for example, to approach. So I'd love for them to participate in the future in the evaluation process through the U of I. I don't have any concerns at this point about future funding, just some thoughts that came up as I read the proposal.
Kim Fisher, your second reviewer.
Hi, yes. So I love this program. So, you know, I would just say like that, you know, the $106,000 isn't really directly related. It's not really $10,000 per person who's getting hired because it has other components to it. So it has the training. They've updated their training for companies to get LEAP trained so that there's a cost to that. And just maintaining the directory and also making connections with businesses, I think, is part of the program. So it's not all directly related to just supporting the 10 folks who they're targeting to get hired. I think it is a very good investment. I wish we could do more. I wish we had more funding to do, because I think this program could really do a lot of the things that folks are mentioning. But I think they're doing a lot with the $106,000. And there is a 3.4, just to mention, I can't remember, Diane, if you mentioned this. There is a 3.4% increase, but that's the same thing across the board with like personnel, inflation, you know, those transportation reimbursement, that kind of thing.
Okay, thank you very much for that. The next is Community Choices, Self-Determination Support, and I'm the first reviewer, and Diane, you're the second one. This, again, is an ongoing program with a good track record. Staff help people navigate support systems. That's a very, very important thing to do because support systems need navigation. And the goal is for adults with IDD to do social activities of their choice. Services for 1 year with a renewable membership. I kind of like this membership model, and I don't know too much about it, but would be glad to hear more about that in the future. There are 6 and 10 week sessions on building community activities. They have a Facebook group. They do social coaching. I have 262 people served with 3,723 service contacts in the last year. Is that correct? Okay. They again serve not only Champaign-Urbana, but Rantoul, Mahomet, and rural areas. DDB is 100% of their total budget. 88% of their budget is personnel. And I have not been mentioning, but I want to mention, every single program that I reviewed was cultural linguistic compliance positive and minimal response, yes. And I wrote that at the bottom of the page, and I haven't been saying that, but we wouldn't even review them if they didn't have that. So they do have that. So those are my comments. Diane?
I have no comments other than this is a fabulous program, and I know a lot of families that really rely on it. So I don't have any other questions.
All right. Now let me see. Where are we? We are DSC Community First, and that is Neil Sharma, primary reviewer.
Yeah. Oh, 85. Is it 85, right? 85.
Oh, yeah. Community Living?
No, Community First.
Oh, you're right.
Community First.
My goodness.
That's okay.
And I gave you my notes on that.
Yeah.
So I don't have them.
Yeah. Okay. Community First is a very unique program in that it's really wonderful. They do a lot of different activities, and they try to get that community engagement with people with IDD. They're requesting a little over $1 million, $1,035,000, which is just a 4.5% increase from the prior year. And we fund about 30% of the total program revenue, which is, I mean, their total revenue is like $3.4 million, which is very impressive. And overall, I mean, this is it's a great service, and something that can be often missed when you're just thinking about like the nuts and bolts of like care, but also how to create meaningful experiences in life. So, there is some. The staff had noted some process considerations about paper performance versus benchmarks, but and that could be negotiated in a contract, I guess. Is there any further details about that?
Yeah, I don't think we need to get into the weeds on that one at this point. Lynn and the staff are very good at that, and I don't really have an opinion about that. This is the big program for DSC. It's their day program. It's what they do, and they've been doing it for a long time, and they do it very well. And the fact that it's called Community First now indicates that their focus is to get people out of the old workshop model and into the community whenever possible, and I think they're continuing that in a very positive way. So I would recommend this highly.
One last thing, sorry. They mentioned significant losses on a project. I was just wanting a little bit more information. I don't know if some significant losses on a project. And I was just wanting more details. They had mentioned that. Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Maybe they can answer that with sure. Writing.
That's perfectly fine. It's not a big issue. It doesn't change my mind.
And the next is DSC Connections. And Susan, you're the primary on that.
DSC Connections is within the decade, a recent program. So it's not always been there.
Can she put out her microphone, please?
DSC Connections is a program that really attempts to ensure that clients have access to art, music, creative activities, cultural experiences. A lot of it is tied to the Crow, which is a location in Urbana where there's a workshop. In Champaign, where there's a workshop and also a display area. They target 25 individuals to engage in these connections, and they've exceeded it. They served 38 in the past year, and I suspect that they will always exceed the targets because it's a unique program that's really not available unless somehow you can get into maybe park and rec programs that are somewhat related but not designated maybe for people with special needs. They also are ensuring that there are opportunities for non-treatment clients who may be interested and would like to attend. So they do five events at the Crow or other places in the community that anyone can come to. They have high levels of participant satisfaction, and they also have a collaboration with community artists teaching at least two classes a year. I think that the benefits are very clear in terms of engaging the broader community, engaging a specific core of individuals who'd like to be creative and engaged in the arts, and it certainly promotes inclusion and reduces stigma. So I don't have any concerns. This has been ongoing for 5, 6, 7 years, I think, and seems to be very successful, very visible.
Yeah.
Neil?
It's a cool program. It's really cool. You know, as an artist, it's like near and dear. I mean, all these programs are wonderful and they're great. But yeah, I know, really love this. I think it's so important.
I just want to comment that I have personally purchased art pretty much every time I've gone to one of their events, and I treasure all of those things. They're really unique and quirky and fun and quite beautiful. Okay, we are moving along. We are down to DSC Workforce Development and Retention. Kim, your primary.
Okay, this is a DSC program. They're requesting $287,310. We've heard about this program, I think, had several updates over the past year, just like how impactful this has been for DSC staff. As we know, DSPs are not paid well and not compensated for all their work and don't often have an opportunity for professional advancement and things like that. And this program helps to kind of address that. So it's meant for new hires, recruitment, and then new hire benefits, benefit, and then staff retention. I believe they've somewhere said that I think it's like 16, every employee could receive up to $16,000 or $1,600 per year. It includes training, support. What I love personally is membership with the National Organization for Direct Support Professionals. Two staff get to go to the conference, and knowing anybody who gets to go to conferences, it's impossible to independently pay to go to some of these professional conferences. They get PDs. It's just a real wonderful investment in staff that are very important to support folks with IDD. They did note that there is a 17.8% increase, but from my recollection, I think that's just because of inflation and things like that, but I might be wrong.
Susan?
I can look at that. Yeah, Susan.
Oh, I agree with Kim. It's a great program. It has a history of effectiveness. And, you know, I remember when we talked about how much we needed something for retention and recruitment, and this has fulfilled exactly what the board was requesting several years back. So I'm happy to hear it's a success.
Totally agree. The next one is down at the bottom of the page for me, Early Childhood Mental Health Services, which is a joint program. The last two are myself and Neil are the reviewers, and they're joint projects of the Mental Health Board. So for both of these projects, the proportion of the request is to be determined, TBD. So we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but we do need to review the program. Yes, Lynn.
So these last two are all Mental Health Board money. The DD Board does not pay anything for these two. This goes back to the intergovernmental agreement, which was established when the DD Board was first formed. But the Mental Health Board relies on you to look at these applications and weigh in on their quality and any concerns that you have. Because what Ann said is right, we're going to deter. There's a certain amount of money they have to spend on DD. The big question for them is, do they want to fulfill the rest of the request on the Mental Health Board side? And then obviously they want to know what you think of these applications. So thank you.
Well, I'm the primary reviewer on the Early Childhood Head Start program, and I do think this is relevant to DD because children are identified early, and the earlier they're identified and provided with the appropriate services, the better the outcome. That is well documented in lots of literature, so we can support that. This is basically for professional staff who are highly trained professionals. I mean, this is professional. They do assessments, and the most important thing that they do, I mean, the assessments are important, but they also do programs and training to support teachers, parents, and caregivers. And this is extremely important work because the teachers, parents, and caregivers are the ones that interact with the children on a daily and hourly basis and can implement any of the programs that are identified that will be helpful for the child. Sometimes, you know, so many different things that can be done to help a child learn to communicate, learn to share their toys, learn to feed themselves, all of the things that they need to learn to do. They use something called practice-based coaching. They use validated tools for assessment, and they have virtual services available. The recommendation is to offer them a two-year contract, which is what they had previously. This is the two-year contract review. I would recommend this without any reservation. Neil?
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. And yeah, I think initially my whole question was about like where we fit in, because I see this really fitting well with our mission statement. So I agree. You know, no problems.
I don't think we have to specifically say individuals identified as IDD when they're young children, because they're in the process of finding out and developing where do these children fall in the spectrum.
Exactly. So it's really important to kind of like early catch, because like, yeah, that's where a lot of problems start in childhood, you know.
Okay, Neil, you get the last one. See you early.
All right. You know, similar kind of program. However, they also work more specifically with Spanish speaking groups, which I think is very, very important. They're requesting $86,701, which is a 7.4% increase from the prior funding. And so, I mean, once again, it's sort of similar to the last organization. Very important. You know, I had some initial kind of questions about, like, who do they define as at risk? But I think they have some, like, measures to determine who's at risk. And I think it's just more broadly to, like, people at risk for mental health issues as well, so, which is great.
Yeah, I agree with Neil, and I think the focus on Spanish-speaking families is extremely important. And an unmet need. And just as a note in the future, because we are a diverse community and we are a welcoming community for people from many different cultures and many different languages, something for everybody to consider is how to make our services available to people who do not grow up in the dominant culture, have other cultural needs, language needs. So something to consider.
Yeah. That's such a good point. Yeah, because like there's a surprising like large French-speaking population here,
yeah.
Which I didn't realize coming into it, which is cool. Yeah.
So we have now completed our review, and I want to congratulate everybody. I think that there was a lot of background work that went on to make this process work. Are there any further comments from the board about any of the programs before we move on to the next item? Susan?
I just wanted to say that this was the easiest set of proposals to read in my history of reading for the DD board and previously the mental health board. Things were so succinct. Thank you for being really direct.
And I think the excellent quarterly reports that we've received have also made it so that these weren't new. They weren't something that we weren't familiar with particularly. We had a background. So thank you for all of those. I know that's a lot of work to produce those, and I just want to say that they are appreciated by me as a board member.
Absolutely. I mean, just the amount of work, it's amazing. Yeah. You don't see this like in a lot of other places. And so I'm very appreciative also to the staff as well for this like really nice summary of like a lot of the material. So, yeah.
We have a hand raised in the back. Yes.
Hi, Ryan with Best Buddies. Will we be getting some sort of email about clarification for questions raised?
I didn't have a note of questions to forward to you.
I had some questions that I wrote down that I can forward to Lynn that I raised in the conversation, wanting more information.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Any other questions or comments from anyone, the board or other participants? Okay, we're going to move on. I think we're ready for old business. Kim, do you want to say anything about emerging threats at this time?
There's tons of threats. So the federal budget has been released. Oh, sorry, my light just went off. Now I have to do a dance to get it to turn on, which I won't humor you with that. So we've gotten notice that they're in particular, which is tangentially or maybe somewhat directly related to DD services, they're like eliminating so many IDEA Part D personnel, which is all around personal preparation, parent information centers, state technical assistance centers, Special Olympics education. They're basically, that is frozen, but all these other programs are eliminated in the new proposed budget, which will have trickling direct effects for the families and kids that we support in our community and directly on the DD board, but also, you know, as folks age, and it's just such a disinvestment in that. So that came to us, I think, late last week, so I didn't have time to send it to Lynn, but I'll send the update so that other folks can see it and maybe put it in the packet for next month. But call your representatives. Call your electeds. It's just terrible.
Something about the packet. We can't just reprint articles anymore because they're scanned. I know that we have a little more time for the ADA compliance, but if we're going to use content like that in the board packets, we're going to basically have to retype it into Word, right?
No, I'll make it accessible before I send it to you, Lynn.
Oh, okay.
Could we put a link?
We could use links.
Yeah, I could. That is actually easier.
That's so I don't it. Have to we use links. Thank you.
Yes. There's the pause the requirement for Title II ADA compliance on digital accessibility has been delayed. So that requirement is now next year, April 26th, I think, 2027, which is, if it actually goes through, given the administration, it's just devastating to the folks that it will benefit the most. People, blind people and or folks who are using screen readers or keyboard access. And then all of the folks who have just been spending all the time getting that stuff correct. So thank you to, and I know we've all said this, but Lynn and Kim and Chandra and Leon and Chris, everybody on the team, your work in leading the county on digital accessibility is just really, you guys should be just, I don't remember. Oh yeah, Jenny, I see you on. Please just share. I mean, they're just a tremendous, tremendous work. So thank you very much for doing that.
Do we have input from people with IDD today? We always appreciate input when we get it, and we will continue to do that. Engage Illinois.
Yeah, I've been involved with Zoom meetings with Engage Illinois more in the last 2 months, and they have now come up. The organization is a parent-led consortium that is attempting to influence legislation and advocacy in the state to move towards more supported community integrated living arrangements, not the CILAs as we know it right now, but really putting money into supporting people to live the lives that they want to live in a community, not necessarily in a group home in a community. So more choices, more person-centered planning. And as of this week, they have a new PowerPoint presentation to lay out their concerns and recommendations for the state. I helped with that. I have access to it. And we are now, as members of the steering committee or outreach committee, contacting all of the independent service coordination agencies to talk to them about having parent meetings where the information on
levels of support moving from the state developmental centers, which are very restrictive, to group homes, which vary in level of restrictiveness, to home-based supported waivers, which is the default option for families that don't have the options in a CILA or group home at this point, and how those funds from the home-based waiver support could be used to better enhance the independence of individuals who want to live in the community with DD. It'll involve eventual changes in legislation, but it's painting a picture that's really more inclusive than we've had to guide us. And they're working pretty closely with the Department of Developmental Disabilities to try and keep them well informed so that there's not an adversarial relationship, which I think is really important. At the same time, there is another group that is focusing on ensuring greater support for people with more severe critical disability needs. And we're trying to figure out ways that we can share a similar message and not disadvantage individuals who may not need 24-hour support, which is many of the DD population, but still deserve to have more community access and integration. So the politics are always moving. There is no adversarial relationship with anybody right now, and that's the hope.
Thank you, Susan. That was a very good report. Thank you. Evaluation capacity building project update.
Happy hump day, everybody. So I'm Jacinda Dariotis. I am PI of the project, and I work with a great team, including Nate and Rachel. And so I'm going to give you an option today since we're running late, but we do have a new micro learning available for you to see, and it's 9 minutes long. So I can
Five
show it
minutes.
Today. 9. So it's 9 minutes long. So if you want to, if you're going to sit on the edge of your seat and you must see it today, you let me know. Otherwise, we can delay till May, unless May's also going to be even longer of a meeting. So,
you know, I don't think May will be as long, because okay. We've done the meat of the meeting is done, and I would say probably we would have that to look forward to in May.
Absolutely, and our report.
And we love your micro learnings.
Great. So I'll just give a very brief update. So we have been working with technical assistance with three of our agencies. They have their final surveys and are launching them, or we're in the final stages of those surveys to go out so that they can assess the outcomes that are necessary and needed for their agencies and their programs. We are also continuing with our working group of four members who give us feedback on a lot of our planning for our trainings, our micro-learnings, and so forth. We are actually doing a training at the end of June, and we've been fortunate enough that the agency council has allowed us to tag team with them to have our next training after a presentation that they're having for their group. So that will be great, and we'll increase participation. And we're going to be talking about evaluation plans. What are they? Why do they matter? Why is it important to create one? And to start helping programs to create their own evaluation plan. And then, of course, we're working on our report, which will be due at the end of this month, and then we will present on that in May, along with our micro-learning. So May is going to be all about evaluation and other things. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
I don't think there are any questions, but we do appreciate your work. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your support.
Okay, Disability Resource Expo and AIR updates. What?
I'm going to try to go faster than that.
You go wherever you go. She's a real model, but,
I mean,
you know.
That was great. I really appreciated that, Dr. Dariotis. All right, so, like, there's kind of a lot, but I'm going to try to make it quick. We have continued to have conversations with a very small core group of planners of the expo. Right after your meeting last month, Barb Reznor passed away. Some of us were not expecting that. Barb is kind of our hero. You know, we're absolutely counting on her for that institutional knowledge to carry forward. So it doesn't change what we were doing, but it sure does maybe slow it down. So I think we all needed some time to reflect and obviously to attend her services and write some nice things about her and think about her. So that's where we're at with the expo stuff. We have released a message to the public. Maybe you saw it. We did not send it to you. It was designed to be shared with you, but you already know. You know all of it. So then the second part is AIR, the Alliance for Inclusion and Respect. We did participate in the final Ebert Fest this weekend. It was very successful. I did have a tantrum on, maybe it was Monday night, when an intern posted on their social media that someone else was the sponsor of the film we sponsored. And so they've retracted that and put an apology out that's like that apology is traveling so much further than the original post. So AIR is getting a lot of great PR right now. I was just so shocked at the mistake that they had made. It was an intern who didn't know. So anyway, but it was the event was very successful in my eyes from a perspective that I think this board cares about maybe more than other stakeholders, and that is the artists and the supporters have actually developed a real network. Like, they really are a group. They were talking about their own plans for more art shows, like not talking to us. I was like, heck yeah, identifying people who, you know, might be fun to include and where they would do it. I think that's exactly what we all hoped would happen. And then other good news, you mentioned DSC's Connections program earlier, that every time you go to the Crow, you buy some art. I want to share that there was a festival guest who has been there for all 27 years, and he is part of AIR. He comes from San Diego. He's an alum. Our work is very important to him. Every year, he seeks out the Crow artists to purchase certain things. When he finally made his way up there, they were gone because they didn't have enough art to keep selling it. So he was sad because he couldn't get what he wanted, but he also saw this project has been very successful in what it meant to do. And now is a great time to do something else. So it's, you know, I'm hearing from people who have other ideas about what we can do in the community to you know, reduce stigma and to make sure that people with disabilities are fully included and respected. So that was a really hopeful weekend to me. Anyway, there's the very sad part, but also because, you know, we missed Barb all weekend. She would have been part of that. But also a sweet place to stop and think about what to do next. Anyway.
Thank you for that update, Lynn. I did not have anything on the agenda to recognize Barbara Brenner. Do we want to say a couple words about her?
Well, did we kind of write a statement, or do you want to? I'm not prepared either. It just, you know, Barb really, we posted a tribute to her, but and it was more of a form of making sure that obituary got out there and that people knew about it. I'm not good at this, Anne. Maybe we gotta.
Well, yeah, Susan, would you say something?
I would say that, you know, we could probably do it better in May, but I learned about the Disability Expo from Barb. She was such a strong promoter and such a welcoming leader that. Once I discovered that it existed, I came back every year, and I always saw Barb, and I always respected her thoughts, her comments, her perspective. She was just what I would consider a quiet leader in our community, but she had such an impact, and she was very good at pulling people together
She never needed the spotlight, but she was just an amazing force. And I don't think we would be where we are today without her. So I think her family, I would love to provide them with a letter or a certificate or something that, you know, states how important she was in the DD community, to the DD board, et cetera.
I totally agree with that. Can we ask staff to help the board to put something together that we can approve at our next meeting?
Well, sure. And I just want to say that we weren't prepared to. I think we've been mostly sad. This is kind of like the bottom dropping out for us. So, it, you know, it's kind of any help that you can give us and what exactly you would like to see us do in May for her or to create for the family would be much appreciated.
We can send comments.
Okay. Because I think we're just kind of scrambling to, like, how do we cover things right now? Like, anyway.
Great leaders often lead from the background. Okay, we're ready for successes and other agency information.
I'll be quick, and I'm really sort of speaking on behalf of a number of us here from the Arc of Illinois, Annie Bruno, and Angela from RPC, and AJ from DSC. Last week, we held our annual TPC event. This year, the focus was on students with disabilities, and we hosted a like half-day conference for juniors and seniors, students who have IEPs. And we did it at the City Center in downtown Champaign, and we had kind of two rooms. We had MTD. We had a couple of professors from the U of I present about employment and higher education, and then Community Choices and DSC, as well as Piatt County and Marion County all presented to some of the students with lower incidence disabilities. We had, I think, around 120 students attended, and we had, I think, maybe between 8 and 10 vendors. So it went really, really well. So we alternate that with a parent-focused event. So we did that last year, and we'll do that again next year.
Hi again, Ryan with Best Buddies. We look forward to responding to your questions, but also would love to invite everyone to our Best Buddies Friendship Walk tomorrow at Edison Middle School from 11 to 1:30. We're expecting between 400 to 500 students with and without disabilities, a lot of them chapters, Best Buddies Friendship chapters. It's really just a big celebration of the mission of those friendships. Student leaders are going to be leading our opening ceremonies. There's going to be a foam pit, so bring a change of clothes if you do, but it's a free community event for all the schools and then any community leaders who'd like to join us. So again, tomorrow, Edison Middle School at 11 a.m. Thank you.
Hi there. I'm AJ from DSC. I wanted to thank everybody who came to our Boneyard show a few weeks ago. It was the most successful one we've ever had at the Crow. And so that explains why we ran out a lot of things the next weekend. So thank you to that. And I do have, if you guys would like to see the current offerings for Community First, I did want to give those to you as well so you can see what's going on right now. So thank you.
Then we need to post it as an addendum to the board meeting. Do you have an electronic version of it that's accessible? Okay, thank you. Yay. Perfect. Very exciting.
Yeah, I like the paper version, but the electronic version has to be available for the board pack. Yeah.
The end. Paula with campaigns over the land. Three wings, we at three sad sins from our data base. And I want to remind you, we value, consumer choices, whatever personal support worker for the data change in the consumer don't prefer, I may not be able to send that PS you helped, and we go to be at all conference next week, so we are looking forward to that, and we are collaborating more with the FC and community choices. That do anyone need that repeated?
Does anyone need that repeated?
I got most of it, and honestly, I have recordings, so I can go back and catch anything that I missed. But if others want it repeated.
I was able to tell that you're going to the ARC and something about PSWs, but if you could do a quick summary, that would be helpful. I think I missed a little bit.
Okay. That's okay.
Thank you, Paula. I apologize.
So I'm going to summarize what you said over the last half an hour. Okay. Paula mentioned that the two of us will be going to the ARC conference. We've been doing a lot of outreach as well. We do a lot of that. And one thing that she was trying to make at the beginning was about how, you know, we really believe in consumer control and choice. And so, you know, a lot of trying to, you know, assist folks in matching up with personal support workers is sometimes you don't like the personal support worker options you're presented, and you get to say, hell no. So I think that was what you were trying to really make clear in the beginning. Did I get all that kind of? And we had three successes in the last, what did you say, 3 weeks, right?
Couple weeks.
And I know Mel from PACE has also had her hand up. I don't know if she was hoping to add to this conversation or not, but we would be in trouble if we didn't say that.
Mel?
No, you guys are doing a good job. I'm actually had my hand up because I wanted to share with everyone that PACE received last year through United Way a grant that we can assist someone up to $75 on application fee on housing. And then if they also need a deposit up to $500, we can assist too. So if anyone you know is looking to get access to housing, we can help with application fee and deposit. So please feel free to share our information because we would like to assist as many consumer with disability as possible in Champaign County.
That's good news. Lynn, did you have something? No.
Do we need more people by June 38th?
For that? There's also,
yeah.
As always, Paula, thank you for your input.
You're welcome. And
Paula and I've known each other since she was a kid. Any other agency? Yes.
Hi, I'm Angela with the Regional Planning Commission, and I just wanted to highlight one of the individuals who's been using the Community Life Short-Term Assistance Program. He has used it over the last 2 years. He lives in a rural community that has like no activities, no transportation system, and primarily all of his income goes to supporting himself in his home, so no money left over for activities. And through the funding, he's been able to take part in CUSR activities over the last couple of years, and has really begun to form friendships and start being able to maintain those friendships just as a result of that funding, to the point now where he's reaching out to me when the program guy comes out, like wanting to sign up for things and gets really excited. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, because without that funding, he would still be sitting at home, only leaving his house for grocery shopping and going to church weekly. So it's been a really positive impact on him.
Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else want to come forward? Well, thank you to the agencies and programs for those uplifting successes. County Board input?
Good morning, all. Nothing to share, just enjoyed hearing about all the agencies that are seeking funding this year and all the work that they do. Makes me really hope we can find some new revenue streams for the county. Because, yeah, I wish we could fund them all. But thank you again.
Yes, we hope you're successful in finding revenue also. Champaign County Mental Health Board input?
Talk about wishing there was enough funding to fund it all. The Mental Health Board will do what you've done this evening, and then also on April 29th, which reminds me we need to talk about April 29th before we leave here. They have requests that exceed the available amount by almost $2 million. And really, I think that always the challenge for them is that there's always something really important and good about a request for funding, or people wouldn't bother to do it, and they wouldn't bother with our system. So, really, like, send them your best well wishes, because tonight they're going to start on that very difficult decision journey. I think you're going to be in a better position than they are as far as affordability of what you want to fund. I don't think I have any other input. Isn't that a dream come true?
So I think since we have completed the review of all of the programs during this meeting, and I want to again thank everybody for your really hard work. I know it takes time to review all these programs. And Kim, thank you for getting the summaries out to us in a readable form really early so that we could fit that into our crazy schedules and get those reviews done. So since all the work has been done, we do not need a meeting next week. Canceled. And we will meet again next month, at which time we will have, Lynn, we'll have resolutions available. I mean, this is a lot of work, too.
Well, this conversation actually is very helpful for what we have to do next. We have a pretty short turnaround time to develop affordable scenarios for you, but your thoughts and questions and the agency's answers are really helpful informing that. So thank you.
So we will have resolutions available and we will vote next month. Because the most of the work has been done this month, that meeting will not be as long, but we may have some discussion about some programs that's inevitable for that to occur, and that is a good thing. And that is May 27th. And I hope everybody has that on their calendars. Hope I have it on my calendar, and I look at my calendar and make sure that we're all available for that meeting. We do have to have a quorum or else we can't do it. And we'll also be treated to a 9-minute micro-learning. I think the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Recording stopped. I was by noon. By 11.